Jack has a shot at getting the DWL in the South Georgia State Fair to perform in front of 10,000 people. But when Wild Bill comes around, Jack's booking plans go out the window. And that's the least of the problems. Also, fuck Ace. We're talking Heels Season 1, Episode 5 on Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Chris.
And my name is Tessa.
And this is Pro Wrestling Repackaged, where the squared circle meets the small screen. In this episode, we'll be discussing Heels Season 1, Episode 5, Swerve, written by Vince Russo. I mean, come on. Had to get that out of the way right in the beginning. But before we dive in, I think something that we've been wanting to do is, well, you know, sometimes we, in the heat of recording, we forget to mention things that we really liked about the episode or that we really wanted to talk about. I mean, there's only so much that you can fit into these without it becoming too long. And also sometimes as we're watching, we miss things, we miss details, or things just kind of go over our head. But in this case, something that we've been kind of just forgetting to talk about during the course of the episodes, at least the last few, is Bobby Pinn's character in general. So I think what we wanted to do before we dove into the episode full on is just kind of talk about Bobby Pinn up to this point, because he is a very central part of this episode. Something awful happens to him. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen. By the way, we don't say this, but these are spoiler episodes. If you have not watched the episode yet, watch it first, then listen to us. That's how you should enjoy these. But let's talk about Bobby Pinn, his character, his parents, his music endeavors, because this is all very interesting stuff to me. Let's start with the music part, because it's one of the first things that I think separated him from the rest of the locker room, is that he makes his own music.
Yeah, he writes and performs his own raps.
Which is weird. Look at a guy like him and you'd assume maybe he would like record his own country songs or something like that. But it's kind of a left field thing that works for him because he's just kind of a left field guy.
Also, he mentioned in the last episode that he writes his own graphic novels, I think.
I would really love to see some of that. He's an artistic guy. He likes to express himself. And he has this innocence about him that makes it all very charming, I would say. His raps, I mean, first of all, we see in that one episode where Crystal gets the tour of his trailer, we see that he has like a whole Pro Tools set up on his laptop in the trailer. He's got a condenser microphone. He's got the good studio cans, the headphones. He's got a whole setup in there. And this, for me, is like, oh, well, this is what I do. So now I feel a kinship to him. And yeah, home recorders. Yeah, DIY music making. I wonder, does he make his own beats or does he just find them like on SoundCloud and just record his vocals?
Oh, I don't know. But I guess the question is, are his raps good? I think we've heard like two of them. There's his entrance theme, and then he's showing Crystal a new one. Are they good?
I think they're good in the sense that they sound like a real song. You know, it sounds like something you'd hear coming out of someone's car very loudly in a parking lot. He's got the auto-tune going on. I don't know if he has auto-tune or Melodyne, or I don't know what pitch correction plugins he's using, but he's doing that style. So it's like a very trap style. He's good at like the technical side of it, unless he has someone coming in and engineering and producing for him. I assume he's doing this all himself.
That's how it looks.
So from that respect, I think just from a technical standpoint, I think he's pretty impressive. From a lyrical standpoint, I mean, Bobby Pinn, put a pin in it. I don't know.
I respect the effort.
Yeah, I think he's a creative guy. Whether or not the lyrical content is up to par or interesting in any way, I think that's kind of besides the point. He's creating something on his own, which is, you know, there are some rappers, some very popular rappers who set records, you know, for album sales and, you know, Grammy records and things like that, who don't write their own lyrics. So, and that's a thing in rap. It's like, that's not authentic. You know, it's like getting a scripted promo. It's like, let's hear what's really what's really inside. And I mean, Wild Bill would agree with that because he is very much against the scripted nature of how Jack is running this place.
So he would respect Bobby Pin's raps.
Theoretically. Or he would just completely crap on it.
He'd crap on it. You know he'd crap on it.
But that's just like, that's almost kind of like the first level of getting to know Bobby Pin. That's like the first layer of the onion that you peel back. The next layer is that he's got these parents that aren't returning his calls.
Yeah, I have a theory about this. Well, first of all, he's calling them all the time and, you know, thanking them for the support that they've given him and, you know, that he hopes that they'll be really proud of him. Also, his grandfather gave him the trailer that he lives in. So he clearly has this family connection, but it's always a one-sided conversation. He's just talking to, like, their voicemail or their answering machine. And I kind of wonder if maybe they're dead.
That's the feeling that I was getting. I forget which episode it was, but the first time he called them, it kind of just seemed like, okay, yeah, he's far away from his parents and, you know, they're off living their life in Texas doing whatever. And, you know, he misses them. The second time, though, he calls, it's like, okay, there is something here.
Yeah, that
there is never, a subtext here.
He's never actually speaking to them. So I wonder if he's just like speaking into you know, the recorder on his phone or something like that and just recording these messages for his parents that aren't actually alive.
Or he's calling a line that just hasn't been canceled yet.
Right. And maybe that would explain why. I mean, surely he could have been wrestling out in Texas. How did he end up in Duffy? Far away from these incredibly supportive parents.
Yeah, there's a million places he could have gotten booked in Texas. So I want to know more about how he landed there, what's going on with his parents, just his character in general, because on the surface level, he's very naive and he's very, you know, nice and he's chivalrous and he's all of these things. But you know that there's stuff going on underneath the hood that we don't know about yet. So Bobby Pin is really becoming one of the characters I'm most interested in. I think it's really Bobby Pin and Crystal, which I think makes them, I think, a great pairing on the show because those are the two people I'm the most interested in. I think the two people I am the least interested in are currently Mama Spade and Stacy.
Yeah.
Although Stacy kind of, it changes from episode to episode.
She gives me whiplash.
Yeah. It's hard to say with her. But Bobby Pin is becoming way more important of a character than I thought, than I ever thought. When he was turquoise, I'm like, okay, this is kind of going to be his slot on the show. He's going to be the comic relief doofus.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to be part of the main storyline ever. And honestly, really, with all of the wrestlers, I kind of thought, apart from Ace, Jack, Crystal, the rest of them would just kind of be in the background. But they all get a lot of good parts, especially Bobby Pin, which I'm happy for because I love him.
And it makes it all the more heartbreaking what happens to him at the end of this episode.
I'm still distressed.
Yes, which we will get into now. And by the way, fuck Ace. You know, so you know how Hiroshi Tanahashi's current theme is Go Ace? Well, I would like to make a version of that that says fuck Ace. Because that is my main takeaway. Those are my notes for the episode. I don't know if you saw. I have it written about three times in three different places on our document. Yeah, fuck Ace. That's my main overall thoughts for this episode. Before we dive in, though, I first just wanted to give a quick shout out to a new listener and someone who's been interacting with us a lot on Twitter, at Ollie J. Spade, has a ton of great takes and very detailed analysis about this show. And it's stuff that actually, as they've been sending it to us, it's kind of making me think about, oh my God, yeah, we didn't even talk about this aspect of stuff or this aspect of this character. And it's all stuff that I really want to dive into when it's appropriate in future episodes. But I just wanted to give a shout out because we love how much Ollie J. Spade has been interacting with us. And if you want to interact with us on Twitter and send us your takes and send us your little details you think we might have missed or things that you want us to highlight on the episodes, you can tweet us at PW Repackaged. And you can also interact with us on Instagram at PW Repackaged as well. And if you want to email us, if that's a better forum for your long form thoughts, you can do so at pwrepackaged@gmail.com. We welcome everything you got for us. Feedback on Heels, feedback on this podcast, anything you're curious about, if you have a question for us, if you have thoughts, if you have a review, if you want to send in your thoughts on each episode after they air, if you just want to write some stuff out and we read it on the show, we would love to do that. So you can do that at all the places that I just mentioned. And if you want links to everything, you can go to pwrepackaged.crd.co and you'll find everything. We don't do this really a whole lot within the body of the show. We'd like to save that for the end. But I thought it's really important because we've been loving what Ollie J. Spade has been giving us, and we would love for all of you to be able to participate as well. So with that all said, let us now move in to the body of the episode itself. Let us move into Heels Season 1, Episode 5, Swerve, starring Isaiah Swerve Scott of Hit Row. No, no. Listen, this lends itself to a lot of jokes, this episode. Directed by Peter Siegel and written by Michael Waldron.
So in this episode, the South Georgia State Fair starts to show interest in featuring the DWL at this year's fair. So it's on Jack to close the deal with an electric night of matches. But chaos reigns as Bill, Ace, and Crystal all have their own ideas.
Boy, do they. Wild Bill is just a shit disturber.
I love him, though.
Wild Bill just forces so much bad action in this show. And in this episode, I have to say, I actually kind of loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Although I hated the result of one of the things.
The thing is, in this episode, he's right pretty much about everything he says, except his like really lame apology at the beginning of the episode. He's right about everything he's saying to Crystal in particular. But obviously, it doesn't turn out well.
No. And hashtag, we'll get to that, just to throw in a last row reference. Let's start, though, with kind of the main important goal of this episode, I guess we'll say, is that the DWL has this chance to be featured in the state fair. So this is what Jack is all about this episode. He just wants to have the best show possible. He wants to be firing on all cylinders so that the people in charge of the fair, who have no clue what wrestling is or anything about wrestling, he just wants to show them a really good time. He wants to have a great show so that Duffy Wrestling League can perform in front of its largest crowd ever. By the way, 10,000 people is insane.
Especially for the DWL.
I mean, come on. Even like a larger independent promotion like Ring of Honor only performed in front of like that level of people when they did the crossover show with New Japan at Madison Square Garden. Other than that, it's like, man, even 5,000 is like, that's a lot for a small independent promotion, even a bigger independent promotion.
And we don't know how many people the Duffy Dome itself holds. I'd be curious to know that.
Maybe like 500, 1,000.
It always looks like there's a lot of people.
I mean, they have been packing it out as of late.
Yeah, but I have no concept of space. So
right. Yeah, I'd say no more than 1,000 people in the Duffy Dome, if that, on a good day. But this is a huge opportunity. And Jack, of course, all the pressure is on him. And Jack is not the best at delegating. We know this. So you got to figure, we don't see it. And that's something I'm glad we don't see him furiously typing the script anymore. But you got to just imagine how furiously he is hitting those keys.
He puts all of this pressure on himself. There's all this pressure, but he just refuses to accept any help from anybody. We don't really necessarily see that here. We see that he's got a script for Crystal. He's working on this script for Ace. And he really has to impress these fair people because they don't know anything about wrestling. They're just into Jeopardy and musicals.
Musical theater.
Musical theater, which is kind of like wrestling.
Yeah.
So, because these are people who don't understand, what do you mean? It's fake. How are people interested? Girl, you love musical theater. What's
yeah.
the difference?
If the audience knows it's fake, why do they still care? I mean, the Avengers aren't real people. And people live and die by that property, those characters. So sometimes there is just the hurdle of getting people to wrap their head around, why am I watching something that's not real, even though they watch things that aren't real
right.
every day, all the time? So there, and that's part of the audience education for the people watching Heels as well. And
right.
that's why you have them in the crowd. Oh, what's a cage match? Oh, I looked it up. It's when, you know, someone has to climb out to escape the cage and then they win. That's all there to be the audience surrogate, just like Big Jim's pregnant wife was the audience surrogate in the first episode.
Or Stacey's friends.
Or Stacey's friends, exactly. So whenever there is a big wrestling event or it's a wrestling heavy episode, they have to have that audience surrogate there. You can imagine with DWL getting the state fair, getting that slot, you got to imagine there's going to be someone there at that show or people in the audience kind of like, oh, what's this? You know, what does this mean? What's this? And then you're going to have the, you know, the smark there educating everyone about what
that's
wrestling
Jack.
Is.
He seems like he'd be difficult when people don't understand wrestling.
Well, he's difficult with everything.
Well, that's true.
He's very stubborn and, you know, for good and bad. But in this episode, I feel like we're starting to see even more of him bending and being adaptable and realizing, especially with Crystal, Jack says, that's really fucking good, when it involves Crystal, me personally, I'm just like, yes.
He gets it.
Yes.
He gets
Thank
it.
You.
He gets it, but we'll get into this. He's too busy protecting Big Stupid Ace.
He's too busy doing that, but he's also very busy in this episode.
He's very busy.
Trying to keep Wild Bill away.
He has to take his son with him because Stacy's working. So even Thomas gets his little spot, but Thomas is also there to kind of get the fair people on the side of the DWL. He's there to talk about how exciting it is to be there. But I don't think he even needs that because they were having a great time. For people who have no idea what wrestling is, they were immediately into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like whenever like a celebrity would show up to a PWG show randomly and then like be completely obsessed with it after that. Granted, PWG is a very special circumstance, but that's the type of thing where it's like, yeah, if people just gave wrestling a chance, and I say wrestling, not necessarily a WWE show. Going to a WWE show can be grueling. Like you're sitting there through like video packages and commercial breaks and
oh yeah, if you're going to a taping,
bad segments and bad promos, yeah. And it can be grueling, especially if you're going to a Raw or SmackDown or something like
especially if it's 3 hours long.
But just going to live wrestling, a wrestling company, not WWE, it's fun as hell. And I think that really translates. So yeah, of course the people would be having a great time. Of course the state fair is probably going to be a huge hit.
Yeah. It what kind of frustrated me is they really in particular loved Wild Bill.
Of course, because he's the legend.
But they don't know that.
But they can see, can kind of, from context, they can see the crowd going nuts for him. They're all chanting along with his catchphrase and they're just enamored by him.
Right.
So yeah, you can't help but get swept up in that.
And they give props to Bobby Pin because they think he's great at making the pain look real.
Oh, yeah. Thank God they thought that was all work. But let's save that. Let's put a pin in that for now. No pun intended. No pin intended. Let's put a pin in that for now because, as we mentioned, Jack's very busy doing other things in this episode. Yes, he's trying to get his son a gerbil. But other than that, more important things, he's dealing with trying to keep Wild Bill away from the DWL. Bill is just, he's on his redemption tour. He's doing a stint in rehab, which...
When?
Yeah, when is that happening?
He needs to go there now. They hold this press conference there are so many reporters there. He's trying to protect his image. He goes off on some tangent about circumcision to just kind
Deflect.
Of, yeah, to throw the reporters off his scent, basically. But he's a disaster. He's harassing Jack. He wants Jack to let him help in Duffy, but, you know, Jack doesn't want anything to do with him, which is fair.
It's smart.
It's really smart.
On the one hand, it's smart because you have a loose cannon, you have a wild card, you have a Wild Bill. There's no telling what this asshole is going to do.
Right. But if you know Wild Bill and how he's so unpredictable, not letting him have that spot, not letting him be involved is just as dangerous, as we see.
Right.
Because even though Jack doesn't want him there, he doesn't want him involved, that doesn't stop Wild Bill from inserting himself. He's bothering Stacy at her new job, at the Piggly Wiggly or wherever she is. You know, even though he's not allowed at the Duffy Dome, he's coming to the autograph signing before the show. And everyone recognizes him, finally. I guess his little plane incident has made people know who he is. Because the last time he was in Duffy, at the Duffy Dome, nobody cared.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was just kind of like a an error that the fact that he was standing in the rafters in the first episode and no one was making a big deal, or maybe no one noticed him. I don't know. But you'd got, like, that'd be like Flair.
Right.
Walking down the street. Like, it'd be like Jake Roberts or Roddy Piper or anyone of that ilk being at a local wrestling show. Everyone's going to be freaking out.
I really think that at the first show he was at, they just didn't really care. They're not even thinking about him. But now that he's gone viral, he's a huge sensation. Everybody knows him.
Even the ticket takers.
Yeah. So that's why they're all going to flock to him. So it kind of would be a smart business move to take advantage of that now notoriety that Wild Bill has and have him at the show. If you're working with him, you might be able to have him a little more subdued.
Well, Jack is thinking of the personal aspect of this.
Right.
The things, the horrible things, and we didn't touch on it in too much detail, but the horrible things that he said to Willie.
Yeah.
In the last episode, and even almost putting his hands on her.
Right.
It's like, man, this guy is just bad.
Right, which is why it surprised me so much with his interactions with Crystal in this episode. He wasn't creepy towards her at all, and he's creepy towards every woman,
every
man.
Yes, every person with boobs.
Yeah.
He is an absolute pervert.
And Crystal didn't get that. And I know he's got an ulterior motive, but he's encouraging her. He's telling her that she's a star, and he's not being a total weirdo towards her, which he could be.
And he's almost he's uplifting the purpose of a valet. He's uplifting Crystal and encouraging her and empowering her. And he almost sounds progressive in those moments, which is scary because we know what kind of a guy he is. And you know that he sits there at the bar complaining about PC culture and, you know, whatever the talking points for old, outdated, washed up people are.
Because, you know, he could, instead of encouraging Crystal and telling her that she's a star and telling her that she's probably more popular than Ace, he could manipulate her by just completely trashing her and have her be like, well, I have to prove this guy wrong and show that I'm better than that. But he doesn't do that.
Well, I think he doesn't do that because everyone else seems to do that.
Well,
everyone else
true.
Seems to just degrade her. Jack is on the path to respecting her, I think. Bobby Pinn respects her. And I think the rest of the guys in the locker room, Rooster, Apocalypse, Diego, they respect her as well. I think they admire her. But everyone else of consequence just kind of shits on her all the time. And I think Wild Bill realizes that that's how he can manipulate this situation, is he can just do the complete opposite. Because at the end of the day, Wild Bill moves forward a lot of the action in this episode, a lot of the very pivotal stuff in this episode, and a lot of the people going into business for themselves in this episode is a direct result of Wild Bill.
It's a chain reaction. It's a domino effect.
Because Wild Bill decided to go into business for himself and swoop in when it all falls down and become somehow the savior of the DWL.
I love this idea that he's there to clean up the DWL and that the Spade brothers have just destroyed. Like, you're the bad guy. You've always been the bad guy. You're a sleazy trash.
Well, as we know in wrestling, oftentimes the biggest baby faces in history, like Hulk Hogan, are just massive piles of shit in real life. Just awful people that you would never want to associate with. And this is another aspect of this show that I feel like it gets so right about wrestling. The heroes are often the worst people in real life. They are just awful, abusive people. And a lot of it, you know, addiction comes into play, and that's not to blame people for their own addictions. But there is behavior outside of that that lends credence to the fact that your heroes are actually the villains.
Right. But Wild Bill has made a name for himself being this bad, bad dude. And he is a bad, bad dude in real life. So it's just kind of laughable that he's going to swoop in and save everything.
Right. But the crowd eats it all up.
They love it.
That's at the end. Let's talk about everything that happens in between then. We already know that Wild Bill has basically empowered Crystal to shoot. He basically encourages her to go off script. He encourages her to take the opportunity. He encourages her to be the star that he knows she is and can be.
And he's also doing that before he knows that Ace and Jack are taking her out of the picture.
Wasn't he talking to Ace in like the first episode about losing the valet?
He kind of implied that she wouldn't come with him. Like, they're not a couple, so she doesn't need to be there with them. They'll get someone else.
So he was very dismissive of her early on.
Yeah, and so that's why he doesn't see enough of the behind-the-scenes stuff to really know what's going on here. So that's why it's mostly surprising. Like, I don't know how much he knows that Crystal is being disrespected.
Unless Willie, up until the falling out, had been kind of giving him the lay of the land and maybe giving him information.
Which is possible, because she hated Crystal.
She did. And then suddenly in this episode, she's being nice to her, actually.
Right.
Especially when Trisha comes into play. And Trisha the bartender.
And that's such a huge, you know, part of this episode, is this Ace is just completely shitting on Crystal. And so, you know, he sees them together and his jealousy is just on a whole other level. Crystal here has an opportunity to actually cut a promo at the show, and she's amazing. She's great. But Ace doesn't want her to have that opportunity. He has an issue with it. And so even though Jack is impressed, he takes Ace's side and cuts it because, of course, we have to appease this big man child. And I feel like Willie is probably seeing these things and thinking back to her time as Wild Bill's valet. You know, we don't know exactly what happened with that. I'm sure he treated her terribly, but she probably sees that and is like, you know, this really sucks for her.
Willie starting to empathize with Crystal is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, other than Jack, who's starting to come around to her, and other than Bobby and the other boys, she has an ally now, potentially, in Willie.
Hopefully. I think probably getting the respect of Willie is a really important thing for Crystal, because Willie's been there and done that. And now she's a huge part of this promotion that Crystal has always loved growing up. So having her as an ally is probably really important. We do see Willie get annoyed with Crystal because Crystal throws down the microphone and breaks it, possibly.
Well, yeah, don't do that. Mic drops are, ugh. I'm an audio person, so it just makes me cringe.
But that's not the only issue that Crystal has in this episode. She's not only was she supposed to have a promo, she's also supposed to play an important role in the actual main event. She was supposed to distract Bobby Pin when he's about to hit a frog splash. But Ace kills that plan too. So he's like, no, I'm just straight up not having her in my corner. I'm going to have a whole new valet and I'm going to completely destroy Crystal's character. And his plan is to just completely embarrass her by getting in the ring and telling everyone that he found her cheating on him with Bobby Pin. But she's a bad person anyway in this scenario, because she's the heel too. She's the valet of the heel. So they're trying to get the audience to turn on her, but the audience wasn't already for her necessarily.
Right. But cheating on Ace might have babyfaced her to this crowd because they all hate Ace.
That's true.
And he's a whining, sniveling coward and a jerk. And fuck Ace.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would have babyfaced her.
I guess.
Then Jack is saying the lines I wrote will turn the crowd against her. Why do we want the crowd to be against her?
That's
if she's
going to
be paired with Bobby Pin, who's the big babyface. So that's the thing that I didn't understand. And I thought what Crystal did actually saved the whole goddamn thing from completely backfiring on them. So again, Crystal demonstrating that she has the best mind in the entire company for this business. Also demonstrating that she's probably the best promo in this company, way better than Jack. I think we see later on a very real and genuine promo come out of Jack that wasn't scripted.
Sure.
But what Crystal did in that practice promo and the actual shoot promo, she is in a different league from everyone else in this promotion on the mic. And her mind for the business combined with that, she'd be an incredible booker.
She's so smart.
For this promotion.
She is so smart. But nobody will really, and it's because of Ace now, nobody will really give her that moment. Like, she just has to take it. And she gets some very special advice from Wild Bill, which, you know, sets some really awful things in motion. But she's good kind of off the cuff. I don't know how far in advance she planned to do this. She couldn't have had a whole lot of time. It was dark out when she was talking to Wild Bill. But she's just so good. And Ace, again, we have a situation where he can't handle something going off script. You know, he trashes Jack for not wanting to deviate from the script, but he's just as bad.
Ace gets rattled anytime something isn't handed to him on a silver platter and laid out for him. This is the way you do it. I mean, there are wrestlers that needed that. You know, DDP had to script out every part of his match. And that's not to say that there's one school of thought that's better than the other, but a lot of wrestling is just kind of being out there and reading the crowd and going with the flow. Crystal can do that. And Crystal can also speak from the heart more genuinely. Ace can't speak from the heart because
he has none.
Kind of a selfish prick. And anything that would come from his heart would just naturally be wham, 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 me, me, me.
Right.
What Crystal does here is salvage a bad booking plan. She salvages a bad situation. She takes a situation in which she was going to be moved down the pecking order.
Right.
No matter how much of a push Bobby Pin is getting, she is being moved down the pecking order. And she just elevated Bobby Pin with this promo. She elevated herself. She made Ace an even bigger heel. And
right.
She created all the heat for this match.
Right, because Ace isn't going to look like a heel if he comes out being like, my girlfriend's cheating on me with this guy. Like,
he'll look like a chump.
Yeah, he's just going to look like a baby. So, really, I don't know what these people are thinking. I don't know why Jack feels the need to just coddle him all of the time, especially with what we see happen. Ace is so unprofessional. He takes out his anger and frustration that he has regarding Crystal and her promo. He takes it out on Bobby and then seriously injures him.
It's funny because the first part of the match, he was working just straight up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was probably being very snug with Bobby.
Right.
And I think at times we see that, you know, Bobby telling him not to lay it in so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of just like what he did in that last match with Bobby, that squash, where he just kind of brutalized him and that was it. But this time, he takes the page out of Jack's book.
Right.
And he shoots on him. Only this time, Ace doesn't let go.
He seriously injures him. What was the hold that he had on him?
Yeah, he has him in like a leg lock and he's just wrenching on it. And then...
Yeah.
And it is horrifying.
Yeah. On the rewatch, I couldn't look at it. It's like, I was having a great time with this episode up until that point. If I didn't hate Ace before, I positively despise him after that. And because then I'm also just thinking, they're going to blame Crystal for this. Someone is going to be blaming Crystal for this because she had the nerve to go off script with her promo.
Well, yeah, Jack, during the match, is already going over to her.
Yeah.
And, I don't know who the fuck you think you are. You do not change what is planned. You do not go off script. You do not go into business for yourself. So he's already livid.
And that was before.
So I just hate to see what kind of repercussions.
I mean, we do see him getting angry at Ace at the hospital. He calls him a piece of shit, which he is. Because Ace is trying to act like this was an accident. And I'm sorry. No. You can't act
like
that.
No, you don't accidentally completely wrench on someone's leg. And he intentionally snapped it. He intentionally did that.
Everyone is telling him to stop.
And
Jack, who is also a heel here, heel referee, is telling him to stop.
It's crazy that earlier in the episode, when Rooster and Diego are practicing their spot where Rooster was going to have the fake injury, it's crazy that we were suspecting at the end that Rooster would really get injured. And, you know, because he's talking about, oh, you know, I would never get injured because I'm good. You know, I just make it look like this, you know. But educating the audience about the fact that when a fake injury happens, fake paramedics would come out. But when a real injury happens, the referee throws up the X. And then probably still fake paramedics come out, but still educating the audience and setting that up to where you think something's going to go wrong with Rooster. And then we see what happens here. And it's great because they planted the seed, but at the same time, you weren't suspecting that this was going to go down in the main event until you realize, oh, wait a minute. Ace is just enraged. He's probably going to injure him.
And he won't take responsibility, even at the hospital. They're not blaming it on Crystal there, but he's acting like it's not his fault because Bobby's inexperienced, or like it's Jack's fault for putting Bobby in this match in the first place. And it's like, no, dude, at some point, you just have to own up to your fuck ups. Like, you did that.
I also really want to know how this match was going to be booked between Jack and Ace, because Ace is a heel. You couldn't get more heelish than Ace because people probably legitimately hate him. And Jack is a heel. But the idea when the plans were changed and Crystal was taken out of the equation for, you know, interfering and distracting Bobby Pin and Ace getting the win, Jack was supposed to interfere and help Ace win so that Ace would get the title shot.
Right.
And they would have a rematch.
So
heel versus heel, or does that effectively babyface Jack going into the match to where they do kind of the double turn from where they were in the last match, where that effectively turned Jack face?
Yeah, I'd need more explanation.
So their booking plan seemed a little bit kind of messed up anyway. The dynamics were not there, and Crystal had the exact right scenario to fix all of this.
Right.
Except for one problem. Ace is a fucking mark. And he doesn't understand that when you're a professional, you leave the personal outside of the ring. And he keeps bringing his personal life and his personal feelings into these matches. And he's damn near ruining everything.
And he's going to continue to get a pass.
Yeah.
He's going to get that title shot.
Because they still got the fair.
And it makes me sick.
If they didn't get the fair, you best believe that Jack would just eviscerate Ace. That would be it. I don't think Jack would want to book him again after this.
And who would want to work with him?
He would probably have to go down to that. You know, he'd probably have to go down to Florida Wrestling Dystopia. Because I'm sure legit injuries happen there all the time. I'm sure Charlie Gulley would overlook this.
But on purpose?
Well, no, that's something only a piece of shit does.
And that's what
he is.
And
as we know, Ace is a piece of shit.
That's what he is. He's immature, he's insecure, and he's unprofessional.
So on the one hand, Wild Bill's interference in this entire situation, on the one hand, it was a positive for Crystal because she stepped up. And although she, in her own way, was unprofessional and went into business for herself, she actually improved the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, her improving the situation also completely ruined it via Ace.
Yeah.
Because he cannot control himself.
No.
Because he has no control over his actions as a grown fucking man.
Wild Bill is a fun disaster. Like, he's a trash human being, but he's, like, fun to watch. Ace is just disturbing.
He has his moments. He has his moments, like, with his nephew, Thomas. He has, you know, he had the heartfelt talk last episode. He has moments where you can see something in there. And, like, when he was being really supportive of everyone while they were shooting the promo in the last episode. But this just completely undoes all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, progress isn't a linear thing. You know, he can make progress and then go back and then make some more progress. But he's done, like, short of killing Bobby Pin, this is, like, one of the worst things you could possibly do.
The moment he keyed Bobby's car in the last episode, I was like, these two can't work together because he can't separate things. He's just too unprofessional and too childish, which is crazy because Bobby Pin is the one you'd think would be injuring people because he doesn't. Because
he's green.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't even know how to do a frog splash offhand.
But Ace, who up north, they were going to take Ace. They wanted Ace. What would he do when things don't go his way and he's not a top guy immediately up there?
I don't know. I mean, they've dealt with theoretically a Shawn Michaels-esque character. They've dealt with the Hogans, the Warriors. Up north would be well prepared for that. I mean, not in today's culture, you'd think, but the precedent is there for the Ace-esque character. That is who he is modeled after.
But he would be awful up there. Like, nobody would want to work with him because no. Who knows what he's going to do?
Well, no one's going to want to work with him now, except for Wild Bill Hancock, who comes in at the end and cuts this promo, this rah-rah promo about what the Spade brothers have done to the DWL, and inserts himself into a main event title match, triple threat ladder match, against Jack and Ace.
Now, this is a guy...
So forcing Jack to book his brother again. This is not Jack's choice.
And this is a guy who, in the last episode, he couldn't even, like, bend over to pick up whatever he dropped at the ice machine. Now he's going to do a ladder match?
Well, you figure he's going to be all pilled up, and he won't be feeling anything for a while.
these two are going to have to. These two are going to have to completely carry him through this thing, and
he might have to carry them.
Well,
being with what their issues are,
they have they have whole other.
This is one. Listen, this is one that I hope little Thomas is not at ringside for. Honestly,
is this happening just at the Duffy Dome, or is this what's going to happen at the fair? Was that said?
Boy, I hope this doesn't happen at the fair. But you kind of get the sense that it might.
It kind of has to.
Every other episode has been wrestling heavy so far. So the first episode, episode 3, and this episode, episode 5. Mm-hmm. So you figure for episode 6, it's not going to feature a wrestling match. But then that leaves episode 7 and 8. Could it be like a two-part finale situation? Could the fair take up the last two episodes? Or could episode 8 have nothing to do with wrestling? And could the fair happen in episode 7? We don't know yet. But one more important thing that we need to talk about before we get out of here. Everyone going off script in this episode was kind of the theme. It happened with Crystal. It happened with Ace. Wild Bill instigated all that. But who doesn't go into business for himself and who makes the right choice is Rooster.
Right.
Because he's frustrated as hell still, as we've talked about in depth. But he has the opportunity. Diego invites him to change the finish. Throw me out of the battle royal. I'm fine with it. I don't care. I have no ego about this. Rooster, though, makes the unselfish choice.
I loved Diego here, though, because he said, I don't care what makes Jack happy. I'm not here to please Jack. You know, I only care about the wrestling. I don't care if I win. I don't care if I lose. I'm here to help you. He says that to Rooster. He doesn't care what Jack thinks. He cares what Rooster thinks. And I just really loved that. This little, you know, bonding thing.
Great, great camaraderie between Rooster and Diego. I love to see camaraderie between people who are on a similar level and both maybe desire the same thing, but they're not going to stab each other in the back to do it. That was one of the things that was really a breath of fresh air in this episode. Considering how frustrated Rooster has been, I wouldn't have put it past him to just dump Diego out and take that spot for himself.
Well,
but Rooster is a professional.
Well, Diego had a whole, you know, thing. He's like, I'll trip. What can Jack do about it? If I just trip and fall, then he has no choice.
Right.
So, like, they had a whole plan, and you have Jack in the back watching them and being like, What are they doing? Like, it would be the end of the world
right?
If Rooster got a shot. But then I really liked when Rooster comes to the back and he asks Jack what his name is.
That's a scene that I was conflicted about because I understand what they were going for with, yeah, Rooster, you are heard. I do see you. I know you, you know, on a deeper level than just you being Rooster Robbins. But at the same time, I felt Jack was very condescending and very kind of patronizing to Rooster. And I don't like that. I get he's got a lot going on. I get he's under pressure. He's, you know, the fair is on the line. He's got Wild Bill breathing down his neck. He's got an unprofessional prick of a brother. You know, booking plans are changing, but you cannot talk to a talent like that. Rooster seems okay with it, but is very disrespectful. And there is an underlying undertone of a racial issue there. It is not just, why does everything have to be about it? Because everything is about race when you think about it, especially in a place like Duffy, Georgia.
Sure.
There are unconscious biases.
With Jack's tone here, I couldn't be sure if he sounded condescending because he was like whispering, kind of like he didn't want anybody else to hear. I couldn't tell if he was actually being condescending or if it was just sounding that way because he was trying to keep things quiet and private. But I didn't like the attitude here overall. And I think Rooster deserves better.
Rooster does deserve better. So will Jack make good on that promise? Will they have that conversation? Will Rooster be moved up the card? Will he get the opportunity? I mean, now with Wild Bill coming in, now part-time legends coming in and taking up a main event slot, this is another thing that I feel like Rooster can sit back and say, okay, fuck this guy. He just came in and swooped in with no authorization whatsoever and inserted himself into the main event and put Jack in a corner. And he's probably going to hold him up for money. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. That's a very old school thing that an old school guy like Wild Bill could definitely do. So Rooster, if I were Rooster, I would be absolutely livid. If I were anyone in the locker room, Apocalypse, Bobby Pin, Diego, I mean, Bobby Pin's got a whole other situation to
deal with.
Well,
he's got more things to worry about.
Yeah. If I were Luke Gallows in the locker room, I would be absolutely livid.
The only thing I can say about Wild Bill in this episode is at least he wasn't naked.
That's true.
At least he wasn't naked because That seems to be a trend.
Which brings us to our final stop here this episode. A stop into the Wild Bill fashion report, the wild style, if you will.
You know, he's back in good form here. The last episode, he was either naked or he just wasn't looking good. But here we've got bandanas. We've got fringe. We've got patterns. I really loved his black fringe blazer that he wears at the beginning that says Wild Bill. It's like stitched onto the back in cursive. It looked very fancy. So I was a fan. I also liked his look at the Duffy Dome. Looks like he's bringing back that snake skin thing, the blazer, but this time he's paired it with that tan vest that I don't like, but he's got his glasses on, he's got his hat. He's doing much better. I'll give him a 9 out of 10 this time around.
If we can also squeeze Crystal into this edition of the fashion report, I thought that her new look was great.
And that part with Crystal and Bobby Pin, where Bobby's wearing like that leather jacket and the shirt with the roses on it, and she's got the yellow and black checkered pants on. I'm all about that. That was great.
Yeah, Bobby Pin, it's amazing how a leather jacket can do so much for a guy like him.
It could do so much for anybody. You put a leather jacket on and it's a whole
suddenly,
upgrade.
Yeah, you're the Fonz all of a sudden.
I love a good leather greaser. Jacket. A faux leather jacket.
You know, Bobby Pin's gear, I was also getting kind of a late 90s Owen Hart vibe from his singlet.
The colors,
so
too.
That as well. But yeah, he's no longer in kind of the young lion phase with the black trunks and black boots. So that's kind of cool to see. Bobby Pin getting some character and getting some new gear.
It's good seeing him have a personality that isn't just, here's my dumb idea.
Yeah, he's not just, you know, Wally Cleaver. You know, he's got some attitude now. He's got Crystal with him. You know, he's a man, as she says. So good on Bobby Pin.
Like
we bookend the episode with some Bobby Pin discussion because he's delightful and we wish him a speedy recovery. If Bobby Pin, oh man, Bobby Pin's probably going to be out for that State Fair show.
That upsets me a whole lot. Like unless his surgery and unless Natalia Neidhart over here.
Unless he has
in two
like,
seconds.
Yeah, unless he has like a John Cena-esque recovery, or better yet, unless he has like a Miguel from season 2 to season 3
that's
spinal recovery.
This isn't that bad.
Yeah.
So maybe he will be back in time. I hope we see a good amount of Bobby Pin in the next episode, though, even if he's like in a wheelchair or something.
Yes, absolutely. So final thoughts on this episode. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And fuck Ace.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, that's about it. I really liked this episode. I was really, really enjoying it until that end part. And I just really want to see Ace get his comeuppance because he deserves something bad to happen to him now.
Yes.
I know you could say that the bad thing that happened to him is like his dad killing himself and he has to find him and deal with it. But
that's
not an excuse for being a garbage person.
Yeah, your trauma is not your fault, but your healing is your responsibility.
Right.
And Ace has no responsibility.
Right.
So we believe it at that. I hope he poops his pants in the ring. And that'll do it for this episode of Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Thank you so much for listening. And we hope you will join us next time as we discuss Season 1, Episode 6 of Heels.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PWRepackaged and email us at PWRepackaged@gmail.com.
Subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app. And visit PWRepackaged.crd.co for links to everything.
If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any other platform that features reviews.
Pro Wrestling Repackaged is a Multitrack Minds production. Visit multitrackminds.com for projects and audio production services by yours truly.